We're starting a new series over the summer. It's going to be a bit different over the summer. We're going to be all in for most of it. And each week, we are going to look at a different part of our Arise core values. So this week, we're talking about what it means to be ambitious for the kingdom of God. And we're going to choose a character from the Bible who has been ambitious for the kingdom of God. And we're going to learn from them. Now, a few years ago, we went away on a church weekend away to a big house up in Devon. And I remember, James isn't here actually, it's a shame, but I remember we were talking about revival. And I don't think James had a hula hoop, but I remember going and there was like a, he put it like a circle on the floor. I can't even remember how he did it. And he said, this is what you do, okay? You want revival? Do you want revival? Put your hoop down, stand in it, and say, revival starts here. Revival starts here. That's the starting point. It's almost, at this point, I've got to take responsibility for the bit I can take responsibility over. Revival starts here. Okay? And then I've got my hoop here, and I've got like a little boundary. And I've got my hoop, so me, and I can take responsibility for me. And I can take responsibility for that little bit of space around me. We might call it our sphere of influence. The place where I can make a difference. I start with my heart. What about your home? You have authority. You have responsibility for your home. And you can make a difference there. That's part of your sphere of influence. What about your workplace if you work? What about your children if you have children? What about walking down the street? Your town, your place where you live. This is called your sphere of influence. And the reason we had these hula hoops today is because we want to think about what it means, not just to have a sphere of influence, but to, I can't do this, but to, as you're hooping, take your influence with you as you go from this place. Yeah? As you shape and change the places where God has put you. How? Sometimes it's through a simple word of encouragement. Have you ever done this? When you're at the supermarket, just encourage the person who served you. When you're served these days, it's less and less, isn't it? Have you done that? The people who collect your trash. Just a word of encouragement. I tell you what, they don't expect it, and it makes a world of difference. Sometimes you've got to do what Martin does. You've got to share the gospel. You've got to tell these people about Jesus, and it's right to do that. Sometimes part of shaping your sphere of influence is simply just saying, in the name of Jesus, your kingdom come, your will be done. Praying, releasing that into the place where you find yourself. So we today are going to look at a character from the Bible, an unexpected character, someone who wasn't expecting her sphere of influence to go from that, wow, to get really, really huge. Okay, and Linda is going to introduce her to us.
Wonderful, thank you. But I do need some help. Of course I need help, because I'm taking you to the Arise TV studios. Have you ever, anybody ever been to a studio to watch a show or something? Yeah, you have? There's a lot of activity going on. So first of all, you have to set the scene. So I've got one guest coming today. So we'll just have one chair. There we go, one for her and one for myself. And then every good TV set has a little table in between. Here we go. I'll put it down like this. And a little mat. And then you've got to have a glass of water, because everybody has a glass of water, and a pot plant just to set the scene. There we go. So there we are. Right, what else do we need? We need a director. I need somebody to be the director. Okay. Who would like to be a director? Miles, would you like to be? I see your hand. Thank you so much. Okay, so you always have a special chair. Now, you're very bossy. Okay, can you be bossy? Karis, can he be bossy? Can your brother be bossy? Yeah, I think he can. There you go. So I've got a bigger one than that. So you're going to be the director, all right? So you're the one that's going to say, is everybody ready? We're going live, all right? So here you are, here's your director. We all have to do what you say. There we go. So you're the director. Then what else do we need? Oh, I know what we need. We need some cameramen. Here we go. Here are our cameras. Okay, Graham made these for us. So we need two cameramen. Anybody would like to be a cameraman? Okay, oh, okay then. And Grace, you can come one either side. They're pretty good, aren't they? Okay, so you have to put them on your shoulder like this. And then there's a little looky-through thing. Right. Okay, so that's one for you, and that's one for you. So one either side, okay, the cameraman. And then it's always important to clap at the right time, okay? So I don't know if you've noticed on TV shows, they always seem to clap at the right time. So we need somebody that can walk round to be our clap person. Anyway, you have that one, because that one's bigger. All right, who would like to be our clap? Would you like to be our clap person? Okay, come down then, that would be good. Okay. So what's your name? Joshua. What a good name. Okay, Joshua. So you stand there, and every time you hear clapping going on, it will come on to the sound. You need to hold it up high and walk around, and everybody's going to clap. All right? Do you think that's going to work? Okay. Right. So, okay. Are we ready? Are we ready? Okay. Ready? Go. Walk around. See if they clap. Oh, look at that. So you've all got to concentrate. I think that's about it. Right, so if you want to go and stand over there, and then when you hear what's going on, when you hear the clapping, you can get everybody to clap. All right, Joshua? Brilliant. Okay, so I think we're set. We've got the water, we've got the plant, we've got the cameraman, we've got the director, we've got the lights, we're off air at the moment, we've got our clap person. Let me see. Yes, I think that is it. Right, so I'll just get myself ready, have a quick drink. Right, are we ready to go? Are we ready to go, director? Okay, you ready to go? So when you're ready, you say, it's time to go live, and then clap that thing. All right? Off you go.
It's time to go live.
Yes. Just like that. Welcome to Arise TV channel, the channel that interviews people who are ambitious for the kingdom, people who have a vision for all things everywhere to be shaped and influenced by Jesus. This program is for those who see like Jesus, to share their stories and enthuse and inspire all of us to do the same. Today's incredible and very special guest is a woman. This woman risked everything to travel with a life-changing scroll, a letter written by Paul. As we know, Paul was a Roman citizen. He was born as Saul and grew up in the city of Tarsus in a Jewish family of the Pharisee tradition. Paul originally fought against the early church, and he viewed the followers of Jesus as a threat. But after an incredible encounter with Jesus on that road, he became the most incredible and influential person to ever share the good news about Jesus of all time, some would say. He traveled widely across the Mediterranean world, sharing the good news and setting up many churches. But we're not here today to talk about Paul's story and his ambition for the kingdom. We're talking about somebody that held a letter that was written by him in 57 AD. And it was sent to, and it was written while Paul was in a place called Corinth. He addressed this letter to the Roman church, a church that had existed for quite some time. But they had had a little bit of a problem, a little bit of a crisis, because for 5 years, the Roman Emperor, Claudius, had told all the Jews to get out. They weren't welcome. He had expelled them from Rome. But 5 years later on, they were allowed to return. The problem was that there was a lot of tension and arguing. Things about, what should we eat? What should we do? We've always done it like that. We should carry on doing it. Well, Paul wanted to write a letter to say, stop. You need to focus on Jesus. So Paul, loving his brothers and sisters in Christ, sat down and started writing to them, stop arguing and focus on Jesus. And he was also hoping to make friends with the people in Rome because he wanted to use their church as a place so he could spread the gospel wider, even as far as Spain. Take this letter to Roman churches. It was over 700 miles away from Corinth. That was a long way. He needed a trusted messenger, one that he could trust, one that loved Jesus, and one that was passionate to share the good news about Jesus. And to everybody's surprise, he chose a woman. And I would like to introduce this woman to you this morning. Her name is Phoebe. Hold up your clap. That's it. Go and do your clap. That's it. Thank you. Welcome, Thank Phoebe. You. Welcome. Have a seat, Phoebe. Welcome to the Arise Studios this morning. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for being ambitious for the kingdom. Thank you for coming.
You're very welcome. I'm always happy to talk about the good news of Jesus.
Wonderful. Thank Would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, yes, as you say, my name is Phoebe, but in Greece where I live, it's pronounced Phoebe.
Oh, okay.
Phoebe. And it means shining.
Shining.
And I
what
live in Corinth.
What a wonderful name.
Thank you. My mum chose it. I live in Corinth, which is probably one of the largest, most important cities in Greece. There's two ports there, and I live near one called Cenchreae. Very busy place.
Right.
Lots of travellers on the trade routes.
Yeah.
And there's a church there, a local church, and I'm one of the leaders there. And I'm also a benefactor for the Kingdom Mission, which means I give money and resources to help spread the word about Jesus.
Wonderful, thank you. Yes, I remember because I've looked at this letter and it says Paul introduces you as a deacon and a benefactor who helped many people, including Paul himself. Yeah. So can you tell me a little bit more? What's a deacon and what's a benefactor?
Well, a deacon means I'm part of the leadership of the church.
Okay.
And part of my role, I suppose, is to serve people. I want to be like Jesus. He served other people, and that's what I want to do. I think it's what we can all do, really.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
And being a benefactor, I have to say, is a huge joy and a privilege. You see, God has given me so much. He's given me money, resources, social influence. But those things weren't given to me for my benefit, for my luxury. They were given to be used to spread the good news, to advance the kingdom, so more people could hear about Jesus, more people could follow him.
Wonderful, wonderful. It says that you went about 700 miles.
Yes.
That must have taken a long time.
So long, I can't even tell you.
I mean, you went on a boat, you walked, other people helped, you met people along the way. There must have been some dangers on this journey. Can you tell us a bit about the dangers that you faced?
There were many. I have to say, I think the first thing that worried me was getting lost.
Getting lost.
I don't have a good sense of direction.
No.
700 miles on your own is a long way to go. And also, I was travelling as a woman.
Yeah.
Which is quite unusual to be a woman on my own travelling.
Yeah.
And you don't have the same legal protection as a woman. You can be assaulted. Or harassed. I mean, I've heard of women who've been wrongly accused of being runaways, or even worse.
Wow.
So that was one big danger.
Yeah.
I was quite worried if ever I got sick, or maybe got bitten by a snake. I had no medicine, there were no doctors.
Yeah.
Even the inns and the taverns you can stay in, they're not safe places for people to sleep always. And then, of course, there are the bandits.
Bandits?
Bandits. Big, hairy, scary bandits.
Really? Oh.
The Roman road is notorious, as I'm sure you know, for robbers, bandits who just jump out and steal them. And as a woman alone, I found that quite scary. And not just on the roads, on the sea. There are bandits on the sea as well. And those of you who have travelled on the Mediterranean will know how unpredictable the weather can be. And violent storms would blow up and ships would get shipwrecked. All that. I have to say, that didn't happen to me, but I did get sick a few times.
Yeah. Well, it's a long way. It would have been about 1 or 2 weeks on the boat, I think.
Do you know, I can't remember.
Yeah.
It all merged
it's
into one.
Way.
I thought that's sick. But I think, you know, the letter itself was actually something quite dangerous because I was carrying an unauthorized religious manuscript. And it challenged some of the local customs. It certainly challenged Caesar's authority. And this had fallen into the hands of the Roman authorities. Well, I would easily have been at risk of arrest and imprisonment, maybe even execution, I suppose.
Gosh.
But I think the thing I feared most, apart from all those things, was that I would actually lose this letter. I was carrying a thing of such life-changing power. I didn't want to lose it. I wanted to share with the local churches in Rome the good news that Paul had written, the way he wrote it. So I didn't just read it and reread it. She's dropped the camera. Is it still working? Am I still on?
Might have looked a little bit wobbly,
yeah,
but never mind.
That happens.
We do that anyway.
I was like that on the boat, I have to say. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, I said I actually memorized some of this because I know Paul really well, and I know the passion with which he wrote this scroll. I know the emphasis and the tone he used, and I wanted to share that with all, either by dropping it or by the bandits.
Did you see any bandits? Oh, wonderful! Oh, let's clap! Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Wonderful. You were so brave.
Yeah.
You were so brave. Thank you. What went through your mind when you were facing all these dangers?
Well, I can't pretend I wasn't afraid at times. I certainly was. But it might sound odd, but, you know, I wasn't really travelling on my own.
Right.
I knew that the Holy Spirit was travelling with me. And there was a whole network of believers as well. And every mile I walked, I knew I was carrying this life-changing, powerful letter. And when you're carrying something that precious, you don't focus on the dangers around you. You focus on the destination. So I knew God was with me every step of the way, just as he promised he would be.
Wonderful. Thank you. Wonderful. So can you tell us why, or do you know why, Paul picked you out of everybody else? I mean, there must have been so many different people that were working alongside Paul that Paul knew in the other churches and things like that. Why would he choose you, a woman?
Good question. I would think, first of all, I'm quite convinced that Paul would have prayed and asked God who was the right person to choose for this important mission. But also, Paul and I had worked together quite closely in Cenchrea. And so he knew my skills. He knew my passion for the gospel, my real commitment to seeing the word of Jesus and that good news spread around. He knew I was ambitious for the kingdom.
So were you surprised when he asked you?
I certainly was. I thought, why me? I mean, there must be somebody more qualified and more experienced than me to do this thing. But, do you know, I just know that God has a purpose and a plan for my life. So I said, yeah, I think this is my kingdom mission, just for this time.
Brilliant.
So I sometimes wonder
what
it must have been like for that local church in Rome when they first heard the letter, they first received it. I wonder what that was like. I also sometimes wonder what would have happened if I'd chosen not to accept the mission. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a really big question.
Yeah.
So, Phoebe, as a result of you taking this kingdom mission, what impact do you think Paul's letter had to the Romans? And also, maybe, in the years to come?
Well, I know that Paul was absolutely insistent that this good news about Jesus was for everyone, you know, even you.
Me?
Even you.
Oh, okay.
But in his letter to the Romans, Paul talks about the God who unveiled his power and his grace through the story of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. And anybody who believes in Jesus has access to that power and that grace. And the truth in this letter will never change. I mean, that gospel power will always be there. So I guess only time can tell how it will impact our lives, the lives of the local church in Rome, or even generations to come.
Wonderful. Up again. Well, thank you, Phoebe. Time is moving on, so we need to finish our chat, but we're so grateful for you coming in to see us. Your name does mean shining, and you certainly shined the good news of Jesus by taking that letter to those Roman churches on behalf of Paul. Thank you for being brave. Thank you for being courageous. Thank you for saying yes to York that letter over 700 miles through all of those dangers, because you knew that that's what the plan was that God had for you at this particular time. So thank you. So I think the only question that remains for us is, do you choose to accept your kingdom mission this morning? Well, on Arise TV, next time you're going to hear some more stories about people who are ambitious for the kingdom and want to go on kingdom adventures. Goodbye.
Thank you.
It's not something that I'm going to do for a living, become a TV presenter. Okay, Phoebe, can I just invite you back just for one moment, please? So, Phoebe, so Matt was talking about, where did those hoops go? They were just there. Matt was talking about sphere of influence. So originally, Phoebe's, would you like to stand in there, please? Originally, it was just around where she lived, which was called...
Well, it was in Corinth.
It was in Corinth.
Senpria.
Yeah, there we go. So she did have influence. She was a leader. She was a leader. And also we've heard as well that she had a lot of provision and she was a benefactor. So we'd say it was this. But God gave her, through Paul, a new kingdom mission. So suddenly... Barney. Suddenly, where's the big red one gone? Suddenly... Oh, there it is. Suddenly... Her sphere of influence came a lot bigger. So the question is, what is your kingdom mission this morning? Phoebe's kingdom mission was to take that letter, that scroll, to the Romans over 700 miles through all those dangers to take it to the church. We're going to give you a scroll, okay? And as we hear the band and Barney play... We're just going to ponder for a moment what your kingdom mission might be. We've heard about Martins this morning going out on the streets this week. Everybody has a mission. So, children, can you help me give out the scrolls to everybody this morning? And we're going to have a little think about what God might be saying to you this morning. If there's quite a lot of them, so if you want to take a basket and hand them round. Got to hand them round, that's it. Hand them along and take one and hand one along. And we'll just quieten down just for a moment. That's it. There should be one for everyone. Okay. That's it. There should be one for everyone. That's it. Take a scroll. Okay, you can hand the basket along, that's it. There we go. Do you want to take one and pass them around? Wonderful. Okay. That's it, everybody take the scroll. And if you unroll the scroll, it says on there, what does it say? Your kingdom mission, should you choose to accept it. Okay, has everybody got one? Thank you very much. So have a little think this morning. Just focus your mind on what the kingdom mission might be, should you choose to accept it this morning. As I was pondering this just quickly, because time is going, I was thinking, Phoebe had her story, but you've got your own story. You can't be Phoebe. None of us can be Phoebes. That was her kingdom mission. You have got your own kingdom mission. Another thought that came to me was we don't know the age of Phoebe in a kingdom mission. We think about Samuel. He was only 12 when he heard the voice of God. We think about Moses. He was 80 when he was by that burning bush. Think about Jesus. He was a baby when he came for a kingdom mission. There isn't an age for a kingdom mission. You all have a kingdom mission. I was also thinking that something new is going to pop into your mind this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit of a new kingdom mission. Something that is going to take you by surprise. Okay, so to be open, be expectant this morning to a surprise of a kingdom mission that God is going to ask you to take hold of and go on. Don't dismiss it. It might sound a bit odd. Write it down. Don't dismiss it. It'll be something to dwell on and pray through. Others might think, I had one of these before, but nothing's happened. A bit of discouragement. Can I invite you again to write that back down again and seek God again? Because God doesn't waste anything. In my 20s, I was quite a professional woman. I was going up the ladder of human resources, want to change the world. I wanted to be the top human resources person by the time I was 30. And I was on this mission. At 25, God said, no, you're going to Bible college for 2 years. You've got to lay that down. So I did. I came out of Bible college thinking, well, what now? I got married, had children, went into human resources in another different way. I didn't do anything with it until recently when I came here. I stepped back into that kingdom mission that God gave me when I was in my 20s. So nothing is wasted. There's no time frame. Just write it down. It's something that might come back that God wants to use now. Another thing that Phoebe shows us was how she overcame the fear, because she said that it wasn't what she was doing, it was the destination that was important. So if you're fearful, bring that to God this morning and say, yes, I know my kingdom mission, but I am really frightened. There's so many what ifs. What am I going to do? All of that you can take in prayer and overcome all of that with the destination in your mind, just like Phoebe did. And I was reminded with the fear of David and Goliath this morning as I was pondering on this, and how David stood in front of Goliath with the word of God. If one of your things is fear, can I invite you this morning to go deeper into the word of God? Because that is your foundation, that is your strength, that is your power, that is your truth, wherever your kingdom mission takes you to. Okay, so I invite you this morning, go deeper. Be like that David, stand there and say, no, I come against you in the name of the Lord. And quote scripture against all those fears, and as you go on your kingdom mission. And finally, Paul played a significant part in releasing Phoebe into her kingdom mission. Maybe you have that gift of releasing others by giving them words, by giving them encouragement, by giving them scriptures, by journeying alongside them, not just the one-off, but going on and on, discipling them, coming alongside them, friend them, speak to them, ask them how they're doing, what's going on with your kingdom mission. Can we pray about this together? Maybe that's your role. Just like Paul, he released Phoebe. Are you a releaser of others into kingdom mission? So today is going to be a significant day. You've got this scroll in your hand. Time is getting on, but we'll just stop just for a moment. Barney and the band are going to sing. Just sit. We're going to invite Holy Spirit, come. What is the kingdom mission for me today? That's what our prayer is going to be. It could have been any of those things that I've mentioned. If it's nothing at all, then just hold on to the scroll and pray, Holy Spirit, as the weeks and the days go, show me my kingdom mission. Because I love Jesus. I am ambitious for his kingdom. I want to see lives changed, transformed. I am not satisfied in this world when I see so many people turning the other way or not even hearing at all the name Jesus. Be people that are dissatisfied so it will take you on to your kingdom mission. Okay, so let's pray. We simply pray, but powerfully pray. Holy Spirit, come. Reveal to us this morning what our kingdom mission is. Show us by the power of your Holy Spirit. We sit with you now. We make our hearts, our minds, our thoughts open to you. We pray, speak in the name of Jesus.